ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद्भागवताख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्षकृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थम् भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् सफले सर्वदा त्वयाम् निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशवाम् भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पदयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्त्वम् नो यदप्रभो नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमनम् तम् नमामि हरिम् परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादितरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरान् तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरयाम् तेजो मृदम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषाधाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोऽत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणाम् सताम् वेद्यम् वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदम् तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परे ईश्वरस्तद्यो हृद्यमरुद्यदेत्र कृतिभिः शुशोषुभिः दक्षणाल् निगमगल्पदरोर्गलितम् फलम् शुभमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबद भागदम् रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपायाम् विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तावत्त्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नुमाम् यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुपेदम् अपेदकृत्यम् द्वैवायणो विरहकातरमाजुहावाम् पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनिम् आनतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अतिथितीर्षदाम् तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्याससूनम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीनाम् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणितातृतानेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भताम् मुरारे मधुरिम् न कणिकापि कापि कापि नमाम् विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवि गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमल्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यम् नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणाम् पादरेणुमभीष्णश व्यासम् हरिगतोद्गीतम् पुनादिभुवनत्रयम् श्रीगोपीचरणारविन्दपरमानवे नमः सो टुडे वि गोयिङ्ग् टु स्टार्ट् वित् श्रीमद्भागवतम् फोर् दि फस्ट् त्री वीक्स् ऐ वास् थिङ्किङ्ग् वि विल् look at the various Puranas where reference is given to Srimad Bhagavatam. And before we begin to read Srimad Bhagavatam, there are references which actually tells a person why is it necessary to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Why not so many other Puranas? Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled so many other books. Mahabharata is there. Apart from that, different 18 Puranas he has compiled. Why this Srimad Bhagavatam has a special importance compared to all other Bhagavatam? Then, secondly, how should one hear Srimad Bhagavatam? These things are mentioned in the other Puranas, particularly in the Palpavuranam and Skandavuranam and Brahmandavuranam. All the three Puranas refers to Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, generally speaking, not only as far as devotees are concerned, but even among the non-devotees, if it is mentioned like this, that a living entity takes birth in this world, and when he accepts this material body by the laws of material nature, he comes to this material world, and from there his journey begins, a journey without in ignorance mostly. Why is in ignorance? Because this verse says that the at the time of birth we have very limited understanding of our past life. We have no knowledge therefore it is known as a birth in ignorance, because the past is unknown to us. Now, when the living entity accepts the body here in this world, virtually he has no clue what has caused him to get that body, the particular form of body, and what sort of experiences he is going to have in his future life in this world. But one thing the living entity knows from the very beginning, that he wants to be happy. That desire is always there in the living entity. He wants to become happy somehow or the other. So the desire for happiness is there in everyone's mind, but how to get that happiness is unknown to every living entity. And there are reasons for that also in the Vedic system. All these things are very, very analyzed, very much in depth. And to enlighten a person, to bring him to the point of understanding that everything what we do in this world and the results of our activities is not purely from our own efforts in this world. Just like when a living entity accepts a particular material body, why did he get that body in first instance? This question comes. And then when he acts in a particular way in this world, why does he act like that? And there is a reason behind it. So these things are explained there, that the samskara or the propensities what we have accumulated in various births follows us all the way through. And these samskaras are set up in our own mind, and it stays there, and it manifests at time and again as and when it gets an opportunity. So in that way, when a person comes to this world, he brings with him what is known as this samskara from his previous births. And this samskaram is not even from one birth, it has come from so many different births. And it is that samskaram that makes a person a devotee, an atheist, a jnani, a yogi, or a scientist, or a politician, or everything. All this mentality of a person is actually, that is what is coming from the previous births. So when, for example, when we see a atheist who denies the existence of God, he may deny, where did this atheistic mentality come from? The atheistic mentality came to him because in so many births in the past, this person has been thinking in that direction and associating with people with the same attitude. And that is how that atheistic consciousness developed so strongly. Now, although he may deny the absolute truth, or may he may deny the existence of God in all his lectures or all his thinking, at the end of the day he is also controlled very much by the laws of material nature. Similarly, if you find that somebody is inclined towards spiritual life, if somebody is coming to Krishna consciousness, it is also coming from the past lives, that in the past lives you have to accept that particular person had developed Krishna consciousness in the association of the devotees or in the association of the other people. So it is that propensity that is coming again in this life. But living entity, when he comes to this world, he is unaware of most of these things. He has no idea what he had in his past life. But he starts his life looking for happiness. So happiness begins at that point. And he wants to develop happiness somehow or the other. So he starts acting in different activities. He engages himself. And one of the interesting thing at that point is that the propensity is what has come with him, what is known as in the Shastra as vasana. That vasana takes him to develop what is known as svabhavam. Svabhava means the character of a person. The person's nature is coming from the vasana. So vasana develops into svabhavam, and this svabhavam, actually the nature of a person, develops into activities. And these activities, most of the instances, it brings results also. And those results will be, in many instances, could be very painful as well. But although he is working hard to improve his conditions in this world, because now ignorance has taken over to such a large extent that he has forgotten his own identity, and also he has forgotten the fact that he has this material body, and his material activities were also controlled by his previous birth and the propensities from that. So the person has no idea that what was actually causing all these things, but he is continuing to work all the time. He works in this direction all the time to become happy. But happiness doesn't come. Why? Because most of the activities what he performs in this world is performed in ignorance. This is how the Shastra says there. That in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when he refers to these activities, that it is specifically mentioned there, that when such activities increases in a person's life, that very activities will become a cause of distress at a later date. And to avoid such distress, and to bring a person to the state of Krishna consciousness, Srimad Bhagavatam has been recommended. And in this Srimad Bhagavatam, the interesting thing is that Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken with this intention that a living entity may, by some good fortune, may come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from somewhere. And when he hears Srimad Bhagavatam from somewhere, one day he may change, his life may change. So that is the interesting side of Srimad Bhagavatam. But then, what happens when one hears Srimad Bhagavatam for a very, very long time? Still you find that the distress has not gone away. The distress is still there. So why is that? After such a long time of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, it has not taken away his distress, but at the same time he is still experiencing. That is because the fault is not with Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the process of hearing. How he has heard Srimad Bhagavatam. Even one hears Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam itself and also in the glories of Bhagavatam in the Padmapuranam particularly. In Padmapuranam there are 6 chapters referring to glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. In all these 6 chapters it was a discussion between Narada Rishi, Srinarada Maharshi and the 4 Kumaras. The Kumaras and the Srinarada Maharshi discussed about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srinarada Maharshi instructed Vedavyasa Maharshi on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. He taught Srimad Bhagavatam to his son Sukadeva Goswami, or Sri Shuka Brahmarshi learned Srimad Bhagavatam from Vedavyasa Maharshi. Sri Shuka Maharshi spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And you will notice there one interesting thing, that Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam once and he went back into the spiritual world. Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj heard once Srimad Bhagavatam and he went back to the spiritual world. So Parikshit Maharaj, just by hearing once, if he could go to spiritual world, why is that after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from so many different faces and so many different instances, we still are not even free from our material, even our distressful condition in this world? Because in majority of the cases, we have no idea that it is this vasanas that is controlling us, or the swabhava that is controlling us. We are not freed from that, influences of that. So Srimad Bhagavatam advises that to hear Bhagavatam from a devotee, and also while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, that the mind has to have that proper focus on that. Because the mind has a nature always to take us into different places. Although we may presently, physically be present there, in some instance, the mind could be somewhere else. That we know from our experience. That is the nature of the human mind. Mind has got this strange nature that in spite of the fact that even if it is hearing about the Srimad Bhagavatam, about Krishna, still the mind can wander away and go to different places. So in this process of hearing, the finest example is given as Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, because his mind was so focused on Krishna, on hearing about Krishna, that you will see as and when every chapter we go through Srimad Bhagavatam, he constantly saying this, Kathito Vamsha Vistaryam Bhagavan Surya Somayam. That in Surya Vamsham and in the Chandra Vamsham, in the solar dynasty as well as the lunar dynasty, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared. Why? Because of their activities, pious activities of these great personalities in both the dynasties. And when when the solar dynasty's history was spoken, Parikshit Maharaj mentioned to Sukadeva Goswami that he would like to hear about the lunar dynasty where the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared. So, and all these times, pibandam tanmukhambojam achyutam harikathamratam. That Parishupara says to Sukadeva Goswami that after 5 days of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from him, that he still has not experienced thirst or hunger. And this was the consciousness of Parishit Maharaj. So with such a consciousness, when he was so eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and a personality like Sukadeva Goswami, when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, immediately you can see what the result was, that at the end of 7 days, Parishit Maharaj went back into the spiritual world. So the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam is unlimited. And in Padmapuranam, while referring to this, specifically it mentions there that one who has acquired so much anarthas from past lives, which has come into this life in different forms and is pushing him in different directions to act one way or the other, practically we see that happiness is not achieved by one's effort alone. Happiness is only possible when there is a mercy from Krishna. Krishna is the source of all happiness also. And just like when one experiences distress, he is working simply to become happy in this world, but happiness doesn't come out easily. That happiness is dependent on being Krishna conscious. Now, before becoming Krishna consciousness also, the living entity goes through a process that he has to develop that spiritual understanding of life. That is, apart from this, that in the technically it is called as the two different levels of existence. Now normally the living entity goes through different levels, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. That means the waking state, the deep sleep and the dream state. In all these three states of existence, the living entity is constantly experiencing something or the other. Either particularly in the Jagrat or in the waking state or in the dream state, he is experiencing in a gross form. But in the Sushupti states or in the deep sleep condition, the living entity has no knowledge. Or in other words, technically in the Shastra it is mentioned as Agrahanam. Agrahanam means he has no ability to acquire any knowledge at that stage. He is only acting in ignorance. He is completely covered in ignorance. But on the other two states of existence, in Jagrat and Sushupti, he has got an opportunity to acquire knowledge. He has got an opportunity to develop spiritually. But he is not fortunate enough to do that, because in that state also what he is acquiring is what is knowledge in the Shastra mentioned as the Vikshepam and Avaranam, the two activities of the mind. Vikshepam means that it is taking the mind and giving an identity to the mind on a wrong footing, that it does not understand that the mind is not able to absorb the principle that the living entity is spiritual, that his happiness is only in Krishna, nowhere else. But that fact is not going to him. He is always thinking that my own plans in this world will make me happy at the end. And he goes on working day after day and making plans every time, thinking that one day he will become happy. But practically if you look at life, you can see that the past is known to us. And all through the past has been distress only, that we have tried to become happy. But it never came to that stage of happiness, never experienced. But if you give up the past and if you look at the future, present, also we think that there is a possibility of becoming happy. And that is why we are able to continue our activities in this world. So past has been always been based on hope. The present is also based on hope. But from the past we know, from our own practical experience, that all the efforts to become happy in this material world eventually does not fructify. It doesn't happen. But if we look into the future, we are still thinking that one day I will become happy. So it is that optimism of the future that is making us to work in this world constantly, thinking that although the past was like this, although the present is like this, still in future I will be happy. So somehow or the other this concept is very strongly in our head. And that is what is give you that impetus to work. But I know sometimes when you will look at it and analyze your own life, anybody can see, no matter who it is in this world, at the end of the day, he will know from his own experience that no matter how optimistic he was in his younger days, the past has been a struggle. Present is a struggle, still struggling, but still he is thinking, I'll be happy in the future. I'll work from now on and I'll try to become happy. But material nature doesn't allow us. We don't have that time to do all that. Why this concept has come to us so strongly? This has come from that propensity from the past. Because so far one does not have come into contact with Srimad Bhagavatam or the principles of Krishna consciousness, he will continue to remain in that consciousness and he will not achieve that state of understanding. So theoretically speaking, this is the situation. And in practice also, by one's own analysis, one will come to this realization that you can see that the knowledge, what we're talking about, spiritual knowledge, is not something like the material knowledge. Material knowledge is all something you can learn from books. But spiritual knowledge is realization. It is realization, pure realization only. Sometimes somebody who has not studied any literature, you can say that some person is very knowledgeable in the spiritual sense because he has deep realizations. And it is this realizations that is actually referred to in the Shastras as knowledge, jnanam. But jnanam, spiritual knowledge, or jnanam is referred to that knowledge which has been realized, or which is not simply superficial, but rather it has gone into his consciousness. So a person who has developed that consciousness will only come from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam has been compiled specifically with this intention, and that is why Srimad Bhagavatam has been given a very, very important place among all the Vedic literature, because what no other Puranas or Shastras could do, Srimad Bhagavatam can wipe away that ignorance in a person's heart and bring him to the point of understanding his true identity. That it brings him, wakes him up to the reality that the time is limited in this world. If one does not catch up with Krishna consciousness, that all the time that he spent in this world in his different endeavors to develop happiness in this world is ultimately going to be frustration only. But Maya will not allow a person to take to it easily. Such so powerful is Maya that one has to hear Srimad Bhagavatam constantly. So this is why in the Padma Puranam it is mentioned there that a story has been given, the incident, the history of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how it came into so much into prominence in the human society is mentioned in the Padma Puranam. After the Supreme Lord Krishna left this world, Krishna went back to the spiritual world, but when Krishna was present in this world, there were so many great personalities in this world who lived at that time. Great, great jnanis, great sages, rishis, and great transcendentalists, yogis, and great devotees. They were all present in this world at the time when Krishna was here. Because many people had the opportunity to personally see Krishna and associate with Krishna. And they came to this world purely because Krishna was present in this world at that time. That was the reason why they came here. And because of their presence, the whole material world at that time was vibrating with spiritual activities as well, because of simply by Krishna being present here. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam and also in the other Puranas, there is reference to this, that how many great sages and how many great personalities visited this planet simply to see Krishna and to associate with Krishna, because they realized that this was a golden opportunity that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come to this world. So Sri Narada Maharshi, who was a constant associate of Krishna, he, after Krishna has left this world, for quite some time he was traveling in the spiritual world in different places, and one day it caught his mind that he should come to this world to see the situation, how things are going on in this world. He was also hoping that, although Krishna has left this earthly planet, still due to the Krishna's presence here, he was aware that there's so many great, great people were present here. So with the intention of visiting them and associating with them and discussing with them about Krishna, Sri Narada Maharshi came to this world. And if you look back into the history, you will see that after Krishna left this world, it was 30 years from that day that Sukadeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj left this world 30 years after Krishna left this planet. Krishna went back to the spiritual world. So after Krishna's departure, for a period of 30 years time, when Parikshit Maharaj was ruling this planet, and in that time, Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, and in the river banks of Ganges, Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sri Shukan or Sukadeva Goswami. And after that, Srimad Bhagavatam was kept was not very much propagated. It was left at that point. But in another instance, it is referred to that Srimad Bhagavatam was again spoken 200 years after that in the banks of Tungabhadra River in Karnataka, and that was also another opportunity for devotees to hear. And since then, there was a third time, again 30 years since then, Srimad Bhagavatam was again spoken in Haridwar. And that was the third time Haridwar was, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. So it was somewhere between this period that Srinarada Maharshi came to this world to visit great personalities and to inquire from them about the and to discuss with them about the glories of Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities, things like that. But to Narada Muni's surprise, Srinarada Maharshi, when he came here, what he saw was that it was a completely changed world. That with the departure of Krishna, the planet has changed, completely changed. And he saw that the effect of Kali has taken away, already influenced the people's mind. And there is a description in the Padma Puranam about Srinarada Maharshi's travels in this world. He went to many, many places. He went to Ayodhya. He went to Kurukshetram. He went to Haridwar. He went to Prayag. He went to Dwaraka. He went to Srirangam. He went to Rameshwaram. And all the holy places he visited. And all he could see, there is a description of Srinarada Maharshi's experiences of his visits to these places. There he says, Brahmanas were selling Srimad Bhagavatam just for a livelihood. Brahmanas were experiencing, Brahmanas have completely lost the principles of Krishna consciousness. And Narada Muni could not understand that in such a short time, with the departure of Krishna from this planet, that such a big change could happen to this world. And this was Srinarada Maharshi's experience. And Narada Muni immediately thought about himself, and he did not know what is that such a difference that could make, that with the departure, where has all the people gone? And he was going and visiting different ashrams, asking different sages, what has actually caused this situation? Sages could only reply that, with the departure of the planet, Krishna Swadhamo Bhagati Dharma Jnana Divisaha, that when Krishna went back to Swadhamam, to Goloka Vrindavan, Dharma Jnana Divisaha, Dharmam Jnanam, all this Vairagyam, everything has gone from this world. Because Krishna's very presence in this world was sufficient to motivate many, many people to come to spiritual life strongly and to endeavor directly to go back to the spiritual world, because such was the sweet words what Krishna has spoken to most of the devotees, particularly the gopis of Vrindavanam, Arjuna and Uddhava, they all, who were all considered as great devotees of Krishna. They were given such mercy by Krishna that simply by Krishna's instructions, these great personalities were able to take full advantage of it. And with their departure, everything in this planet has completely changed. So, when the Kali Yuga's influence is like this, what Narada Muni specifically noticed in this world was more interesting. Narada Muni realized that this influence of Kali is on the intelligence, first thing. Why? Because through intelligence, the man started seeing completely things different. Everything what is dharma, he started seeing as adharma. Everything what is adharma or irreligious, he started seeing as religious principle. This is the first thing. Truth was considered as untruth, or an untruth, false, or falsity was accepted as truth. So this is all the change of nature, or the change of mind, or change of consciousness, what was happening in the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga's true nature is mentioned, that the person living in Kali Yuga will never realize that his true identity is spirit soul, that he has a connection with the spirit soul. And it is not so difficult to understand this, that no matter how much the science tells us all their discoveries and all the technologies and everything what they have developed, the simple fact is, when a living entity comes to this world, he does one thing. And when he leaves this world also, he does the same thing. And what is that? The breathing. Breathing goes on in this body. Who started this breathing? And when did this breathing stop? And only a living entity, if he explains his own body, he can see that it is this breathing. It is not, I am not aware of how this breathing happens in my own body. I know so many things, what happens in this body is unknown to me. But one thing I know, that there is something going on that keeps this body functioning. And where did that source come from? And when the Shastras very clearly and explicitly says that it is Krishna behind it, that the breathing process, what when we come out of this from the womb of the mother, the day we landed into this world, from the day we leave this world, that this machine is functioning in that breathing process of prana, which is a part and parcel of Krishna. The five different kinds of air circulating in the body is also Krishna's creation. And how much we try to refuse, try to deny the existence of the Supreme Lord, it is He who is situated within the heart. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayam sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayayam. That Krishna is very clearly saying in the Bhagavad Gita that I am situated in every living entity's heart and I am keeping that body going, yantrarudhani mayayam. Just like a machine, it is functioning because Krishna is situated within every living entity's heart. And no matter who it is, from beast or birds or animals or human species, or no matter who it is, every living entity is breathing. And if this breathing stops the day when Krishna decides to withdraw that strength from our body. And this is the simple fact. And all the shastras point out to this fact that our illusion is so powerful that we are able to diffuse, we are able to deny the existence of the Absolute Truth, not only outside, even within our inside as well. So in this way, the living entity in deep ignorance accepts so many things which are false and things to be truth. And this is the first nature of the age of Kali. And even as far as religious principles are concerned, religion is used for the sake of sense gratification. And that is also a part of the Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga advises a person that if you worship such and such demigod, they'll provide you such and such facilities and then you can enjoy your sense gratification and be happy in this life, and that is the end of religious life. So that is not the religious life what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So these points, what Krishna has spoken through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna wanted that it should stay in this world forever. That was Krishna's desire. Actually, this desire came out because a devotee requested Krishna to do so. That Uddhava was, after, in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find that Uddhava came to, Uddhava was very much in distress when he heard that Krishna was leaving the planet. So with this distress in mind, Uddhava approached Krishna. And the Ekadasha Skandam of the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to him, referring to 26 chapters, 1036 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Through that 1036 verses, Krishna educated Uddhava. And when Krishna educated Uddhava, Uddhava at the end says to Krishna that so far I have thought that with your departure that I will suffer in this world. That was the words of Uddhava. But now, after what I have heard from you, Krishna is the Supreme Spiritual Master, that what I have heard from you, Uddhava says to Krishna, that I have freed myself from that ignorance what I was going through. And that is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. That in the Ekadasha Skandam, when it was spoken by Krishna to Uddhava, it had this specific message in there. And Uddhava is acknowledging this fact to Krishna. Namostude Mahayogin Prapanna Manushadhimam Yathatva Charanam Bhoje Radisyat Anavainim. Namostude Mahayogin. Krishna has been addressed by Uddhava in this way. Why did Uddhava say like that? Mahayogin. Mahayogin means the greatest among all the yogis. Why? Because normally a conditioned living entity who has gone through many, many different lives in different spaces, and eventually he has come to this human form, he is not going to shed away all that samskara so easily. It is definitely going to disturb him. And he is going to hold on to that understanding. Like an atheist. Atheists will always try to argue very strongly about his atheistic position. And he will try to convince you very strongly. And it is such a person that who hears Srimad Bhagavatam that he is able to change from that line of thinking. Why? That is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. Namostude Mahayogin Prapanna Manushadhimam Yathatva Charanam Bhoje Radisyat Anavainim. That Uddhava said to Krishna that I have only one desire, and the desire is that Yathatva Charanam Bhoje, always being under service at your lotus feet, Radisyat Anavainim. That love what I have at your lotus feet, let it stay strongly ever after. And this was the only prayer Uddhava had for Krishna at the time of leaving Krishna. And on Krishna's instructions, Uddhava went back to the Badrinath and taking Krishna's shoes with him. So while going back, there is a verse. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you will find there are not many places where Sudeva Goswami pays obeisances. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, you will notice these things. There's only four or five places where Sudeva Goswami pays obeisances while speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. And one of these instances is in the 11th canto in the Ekadasha Skandam, where he says to Uddhava that after hearing this message from Krishna and after seeing how much Uddhava has changed in his consciousness, he says, all the distress has gone away. I am completely now at ease and happiness. Why? Because hearing from Krishna the glories of Bhakti Yoga, the process of Krishna consciousness, Uddhava said to Krishna that I have nothing, I can repay this debt what you have given to me. This is spiritual understanding. And hearing from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, Uddhava was so much enlivened that all that fear what is accompanying a living entity in this material world, because every living entity is normally under fear of existence. He is thinking, he is planning about tomorrow, planning about day after, how I am going to maintain myself. This constant fear of economic or maintenance is constantly dreading the living entity. That is why he is engaging in so many activities, number one. Number two, his own material body, he doesn't know how it is going to perform. Today, perhaps it is in a healthy condition, but when time goes by, when it starts aching and pain starts developing in the body, the living entity thinking changes, oh my body, I'm going to be in trouble. So this fear comes to him. So all these different sorts of fear and all these sorts of things has come to him only because of one thing, that is purely because that he had this bodily identification grown very strongly in him. And this bodily identification will not leave him unless and until the Supreme Lord himself desires, oh, let him come out of it to some extent. When Krishna wants that to happen, automatically that will happen to that person. So Srimad Bhagavatam has been compiled with this intention that, anyway, we are going back to something else. But here, before we go back, that we have to say this, that Sukadeva Goswami has not paid many obeisances in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You will find there is one instance when Lord Ramchandra's story was spoken. At the end of Lord Ramchandra's story, when whole Ramayana was compiled in one chapter, in two chapters, eventually Sukadeva Goswami got up from his seat and paid obeisances to Lord Ramchandra. And then he continued and started the continuation of the ninth canto. And there are three or four instances like that in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Sukadeva Goswami paying obeisances to the Supreme Lord. And one of those instances is here, that when Uddhava was departing and he was going back to Badrinath. So why did he pay his obeisances there? There is a special reason for that also. That the scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam says there that this Uddhava's realization, what Uddhava heard from Krishna and what Uddhava realized at that point is the essence of all spiritual life. What was that? Bhava bhayam abahandam jnana vijnana saram nigamakrita bhajukre bringaval vedasaram amrutamadadadishchapayayal bhrithyavargan purushakrishabhamadhyam Krishna samyam nadosmi. That bhava bhayam abahandam. Bhava bhayam. What is bhava bhayam? Bhava bhayam means, bhava means continuously taking birth and dying. This constant changing of body, that is bhava or in samsaram. Samsara means, or material existence means, technically it is defined as all our experiences from birth to death and from death to birth again. So this is the cycle we are going through. The living entity is accepting different bodies all the time. Bhava bhayam abahandam jnana vijnana saram. That this bhava bhayam or the fear of this material existence completely vanished from Uddhava's mind. This was the first thing what happened. Then jnana vijnana saram nigama krita bhajukre bringaval vedasaram. That vedasaram, the essence of all Vedic literature, the essence of all Vedic knowledge, Krishna handed over to Uddhava in a plate. Just like nigama krita bhajukre bringaval vedasaram. Vedic literature is so vast And if one tries to study Vedic literature and tries to find the essence of that, it is not a very easy thing. Many, many acharyas, many, many great yogis, jnanis, scholars, so many personalities, they have tried to go through the essence of Vedic literature and to understand. But there was only one person who could do, who could give the essence of Vedic literature. What is the essence of Vedic literature? And that Krishna was able to give to Uddhava. And that is why Nigamakrita Bhaja Kre Bhrangaval Vedasaram. That Bhrangaval, just like a bee goes into a flower, takes the honey from there, and he takes it happily. Exactly the same way that Krishna was able to take all the Vedic literature and takes the essence of it and hand over to Uddhava. Bhrangaval Vedasaram. Nigamakrita Bhaja Kre Bhrangaval Vedasaram. Amrita Madhata Dishya Payayal Bhritya Vargan. That when Krishna appeared as Dhanundari, in incarnation as Dhanundari, as the Acharya of Ayurveda, when Krishna appeared, he took the pot of nectar and he handed over to the, he served it to the devotees. That is what is mentioned. In the seventh canto you will find when the ocean of milk was churned, this story is mentioned there. So Amrita Madhata Dishya Payayal Bhritya Vargan. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purusha Krishabhama Adhyam, that among the men, he is the great expert. He is the greatest of all. Purusha Krishabhama Adhyam, and his name is Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Krishna Sam Im Nadosmi. And to that Krishna, I pay my obeisances. This is what Sukadeva Goswami said after when Uddhava was leaving from that point. And from there you could see that, that Sudeva Goswami is out of the many obeisances what he has paid in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One of the most important points he considered was when Uddhava received this knowledge from from Krishna. So when Uddhava left and went back to Badrinath with this knowledge, Uddhava is a liberated soul. He had full clear in his head where he was heading for. Krishna has instructed him, go to Badrinath, from there come back to the spiritual world. So with these instructions, Uddhava left. Now, from this, we can understand that this Srimad Bhagavatam, when it was spoken, and Krishna has given these instructions to Uddhava, Uddhava, while leaving to Krishna, mentioned to Krishna in this way. In the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned there also, that I was so fortunate that I was able to hear from you directly this science of Krishna consciousness. I was benefited from that. All my ignorance is gone. It says there very clearly that also that Vrknaschami Sudradasnehavasho Dashaka Vrishnyandhaga Satvadambani Prasarida Srishti Vivirdhaya Twaya. So that Vrknaschami Sudradasnehavasham. In the beginning of instructions to Uddhava, Krishna says there that first of all you have to cut away all this attachment to this material world, and that is the most difficult thing for anybody. Although we may say, oh, I am not attached to this, we know very well how strong our attachments are in this world. No matter whether one is a sannyasi or a grahastha or a brahmachari, the attachment is very much there. And it is not possible to cut that attachment away. And that is why in the beginning of the instructions to Uddhava, Krishna says there that, Tomdo sarvam parityajya sneham sujanabandushu mayaveshamanasamyak samadrak vicharaswagam. That in the beginning the first instruction is that deham sneham sujanabandushu. Today we are thinking that all these people around me are my friends, and this is my wife, this is my children, and like this, and this is my country, this is my society, this is my nation, this, me, mine and me and mine. And this is a series of things where we have very, very close links. What to talk about anything else? Even my enemy, so-and-so is my enemy, I'll call him, he is my enemy. To him also, I've given this hook, mine. So to such an extent that mine is strongly embedded in my consciousness. And it is not possible to break away from this. And Krishna was advising Uddhava, and Uddhava was asking, how can he do that? Because it is not possible to do that easily. Okay, theoretically I can say that, but in practically when it comes to, when something goes wrong, only then you will see my true nature, what I am looking for, that it is my personal interest, which I am in ignorance accepted something as mine. So, at the end of hearing these instructions from Krishna, Uddhava said to Krishna, Vritnascha me sudhrada sneha vasham dasharha vrishnyam dhana sattvadambadi. That till now I had this feeling that all the Vrishnis and the Yadavas, they are all my relatives. And I had this strong concept that I belong to them. Sudhrada sneha vasham, that sneha vasham, that rope of attachment was so strongly, but you were able to cut that. Uddhava says to Krishna, that is Krishna's way of presenting the Krishna consciousness. When Krishna presented Krishna consciousness to Uddhava, immediately in 1 second, the whole thing was cut off. Uddhava realized that he is Krishna's eternal servant. He does not belong to this material world. And this was what a devotee is aspiring for. Today, our mind, our consciousness, our thinking, our intelligence is all completely controlled by the activities of this material world. And these activities of material world keeps us busy in that consciousness all the time, and it never allows, although externally we try to surrender to Krishna, we try to accept Krishna's service, in spite of that, still in the heart, inside, that attachment is very strongly linked and there is no freedom to come out of it. That is why it is said there that breaking up from this material world and to go back to the spiritual world, and realizing that serving Krishna ultimately is the ultimate objective, or that is the ultimate goal of the living entity's life, is not woken up into your consciousness. That's why it says that, Vritnascha me sudhrasneha vasham dasharha vrishnyam dhaga sattvadambadi prasarida srishti vivirdhaya tvaya samayayatma subhodahedinam. That why is that then the living entity is connected like this in this world? Uddhava answers that question also. The reason for that is that Krishna's desire is that the creation should continue. And for creation to go on in this world, this attachment is necessary. It is the attachment that makes that creation, process of creation continuing in this world. But eventually, for a living entity who wants to free himself from this continuous cycle of birth and death and in the existence of this material world, he has to break away from that attachment. And that is what Uddhava has achieved. So when Uddhava realized that this has happened to him, he told the Krishna that at least for the sake of the human, because he was such a nice personality, that he thought about the other people who will come to this world. And he requested Krishna that he should stay in this world. And this was Uddhava's request to Krishna. Uddhava requested Krishna that I have got this benefit from you. Now I will go back to the spiritual world. I have lost all doubts about this material world. Everything is cleared up. As far as I am concerned, I am clear where I am going and I am fully satisfied with it. But what will happen to those who will come here in the future? Uddhava raised this question to Krishna. Krishna smiled at Uddhava and told him, my dear Uddhava, there is no need for me to stay here. Because I will, through Srimad Bhagavatam, I will leave my potency in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who want to take benefit, those who want to understand me, I am present in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This was Krishna's words to Uddhava. That Uddhava was instructed, that is why it's mentioned. Padmapurana very clearly says there, Srimad Bhagavatakhyoyam pratyaksha krishnamevahi. There is no difference between Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. There is no difference. Srimad Bhagavatakhyoyam pratyaksha krishnamevahi. Pratyaksha Krishna. Krishna lives in this world forever in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, because Krishna has put his potency into the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna told Uddhava, those who wants to come back to me, those who wants to come back to the spiritual world, let them take to Srimad Bhagavatam. So this was Uddhava's special request to Krishna that has made Krishna to accept this special potency. And that you will see in the stories what comes later on, that how this was found out later by the sages, and they have found that Krishna's words were absolutely true. So before going to that, we are talking about Srinarayana Maharshi's visit to this world. He came here, and when he saw that this was the condition in this world, he decided that he must look for ultimately go to Vrindavanam and see what happening there. Because if Vrindavanam is also gone, then there is nothing much to hope for in this world. Because everywhere else what he could see was, really what was happening was, people were interested There is a complete description of Sri Narada Muni's observations in this world, what he was seeing in the Padma Purana in several verses, how he experienced that the people were people were completely deviating in such a short time after Krishna's departure that they have taken the materialistic way of life. So anyway, when he went to Vrindavan, he saw one special thing, what was going on in Vrindavan. Vrindavanam, after all, Sri Narada Maharshi thought, it was here that Krishna has exhibited all his childhood pastimes. It's here that all the great devotees have lived. So Vrindavan must be, something must be going on there still. After all, it can't be so bad that what has have saw in other places like Prayag, Kurukshetram, or Haridwar, Dwaraka, Rameshwaram, Srirangam, all these places, what he could see was he couldn't believe it. But at least Vrindavanam will show some sign of devotion. With this in mind, he went to Vrindavanam looking around. What he saw in Vrindavanam was, there was a young lady sitting there. And this lady was actually in a very distressed mood. And so many other servants were serving her, trying to make her happy by their service. And nearby her, there were two old men lying around. And these two old men, they were actually, Narada Muni could not understand. Narada Muni went up to her, to this young lady who was in the distressed condition, and asked her, "Who are you? What is the cause of your distress? Why you are so much in a depressed condition? And who are these people who are serving you? And who are these old men lying down here next to you? And they look in a completely exhausted condition." Isn't that? So many questions Narada Muni asked that, asked the lady. So the young lady replied to Sri Narada Maharshi, "Did you not recognize me, who I am? And I am Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Devi, it is me who is Bhakti Devi. And I have come to this condition, only reason being that people have completely given up my service. They do not want to serve the Lord, because serving Krishna means Bhakti Devi flourishes. Or in other words, when Krishna's devotion is increasing, accordingly Bhakti Devi also has, Bhakti Devi is Krishna's wife, one of the wives that she has been sent here to this material world within the age of Kali, particularly that people may develop devotion to Krishna's lotus feet and free themselves from this entanglement. So that was the goal. So here was Bhakti Devi sitting there, fully depressed condition. And Bhakti Devi started explaining to Sri Narada Muni that how things have changed after Krishna has left this planet, Krishna has departed from this world. So while hearing from Bhakti Devi, immediately Sri Narada Maharshi completely realized what was going on. And Bhakti Devi said to Sri Narada Muni that the age of Kali is so bad that people have no interest in spiritual life. That is one thing. But apart from that, their desire for sense enjoyment has considerably increased. So this increase in the sense enjoyment has actually caused them to completely forget their identity, what they are. That spiritual knowledge will only develop when there is renunciation and when there is knowledge. So when there is no renunciation, when simply wants to engage in some heavy, very, very strong words, Bhakti Devi has used, that pandits were very experts in producing children. This is what it says there. That they were became so, scholars were so capable, they were producing as many children as possible. And this was their qualification, the scholars. And similarly, it talks about so many different aspects of the society, that how the society has become fallen away from the pursuit of spiritual advancement in the human life, that is lost, that goal has been lost. So Bhakti Devi explained all these things to him and then said to Sri Narada Muni, "After all, you are such a great sage and you are always a well-wisher of the devotees. So what, can you not help me to get out of this situation?" Sri Narada Maharshi listened to everything what Bhakti Devi has said and told Bhakti Devi that he completely understands the scene, what it has happened now. Now, only thing he could do was, he started encouraging her and telling Bhakti Devi that your service to these people who have born is that you should help them to develop Krishna consciousness, and without Krishna consciousness their life will be completely wasted. Sri Narada Maharshi was told by Bhakti Devi that after all you are the person who inspired Prahlad Maharaj to become a great stalwart devotee. And you are the same person who inspired Dhruva Maharaj also into going to Krishna. So such is your potency. And you are the only person who are capable of bringing this devotion back into people's mind. And before this happened, Bhakti Devi tells her story, how what happened to her. She told us, Narada Maharshi, that I was born in Dravida, country of Dravida, in Tamil Nadu today. So I was born there, and then I grew up in Karnataka. That is where I grew up. Although I took birth in Dravida country or Tamil Nadu, I grew up in Karnataka. And then I flourished very well in Maharashtra. This is what it says there. That I flourished in Maharashtra. But when I came to Gurjaran or Gujarat, I started feeling weak. That is how it says there. That Gurjaram Jirnatham Tatham. That Kujin Kujin Maharashtra Gurjaram Jirnatham Tatham. That I started feeling weak. And eventually I ended up in Vrindavan, and this is my condition now. These two old men who are lying here, they are my children. And it is very strange that the children are looking older than the mother. It's a very unusual scene. And the old men, why? One of them is jnanam, knowledge, and the other one is vairagyam, renunciation. Both of them looked so old that, why? Because these particular qualities have completely gone away from this world. So, jnana vairagyam, both jnanam and vairagyam, they were completely absent, and that was the result of that. So, Sri Narada Maharshi told Bhakti Devi that somehow or the other, that you were sent here by Krishna, and you are capable of bringing people to Krishna consciousness. You should provide the people, give the stimulus to take the process of Krishna consciousness. So many things Narada Muni spoke to Bhakti Devi, and Bhakti Devi somehow or the other regained her charm or regained her strength from the words of Sri Narada Maharshi. Because Narada Muni himself, being a great devotee, he was able to bring that life back to Bhakti Devi. But although Bhakti Devi got all these things, immediately Bhakti Devi asked Sri Narada Maharshi, do something about my children now. Now, Jnanam and Vairagyam, they were lying there, two old men who couldn't even get up. It says in the Padmapuranam that at that point it was requested by Bhakti Devi that no matter what you do, if you can't do anything about it, nobody can do anything. Bhakti Devi was feeling a little bit better because of associating with Sri Narada Muni. But Jnanam and Vairagyam were still in the same condition. So, Sri Narada Maharshi started reciting all the Vedic mantras, Upanishads and everything. Apparently, when he spoke Bhagavad Gita, he opened his eyes. The two old men opened their eyes and closed it immediately. They couldn't get up from there. But then Sri Narada Maharshi could not know what to do. Even after speaking Srimad Bhagavad Gita also, these two men are still lying in the same condition. Narada Muni was in a predicament. It was at that time from the sky, there was a voice which spoke that instructing Sri Narada Maharshi that he should perform sacrifice. He should perform sacrifice. What sort of sacrifice? He should discuss this with the great sages and find a conclusion for that. This is all what that was spoken. Then after that sacrifice, this Jnanam and Vairagyam will come back to their original position. So this was the words that were spoken from the sky. When this was spoken, Sri Narada Maharshi immediately decided to travel and to inquire from other people, because he could not find an answer himself. So he told Bhakti Devi to wait there, and he started going to different ashrams and asking those who were practicing spiritual life or the personalities who were present there, what does this mean by these instructions I received from the sky? So nobody could say anything to Sri Narada Muni. They told Narada Muni, after all, you are much more knowledgeable than us, and you are the great devotee of the Lord, and if you do not know, what chance we have to understand what these meant by these sacrifices, what he is talking about, what the instructions were given. So Sri Narada Maharshi eventually decided to go to Badri Ashram and perform penances there, because that is what the sages do. When the sages who have any crisis, unlike us, when we have a crisis, we create as much disturbance as possible in this world, fight and kill each other until there will be no solution. Temporarily we will feel, oh, we have solved the problem, and we stay quiet after that. But sages are not like that. They are known as Andharmukha. Andharmukha means they look inwards. Our nature is Bahirmukha. We are always looking outside for a solution. When we have a problem, we go outside trying to solve. When they have a problem, they look inwards, because they have such a strong conviction that the Supreme Personality of God is sitting within the heart, will guide them in the right direction. They are able to see that. And so they decided immediately, Narada Muni's next move was to go to Badrikashram and to perform penances. So when he went to Badrikashram, it is there that he met his cousins, or brother is what is known as the four Kumaras, Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara. The four Kumaras were present there, and he put the same question, what he heard from the sky, to Sanat Kumara. And Sanat Kumara answered that question to Srinarada Maharshi, what was meant by that instruction. Actually, Sanat Kumara Maharshi told to Srinarada Maharshi, that instruction meant only one thing. Instruction was that you should perform the sacrifice. What is that sacrifice? It is known as Jnana Yajnam. Jnana Yajnam means a sacrifice based on spiritual knowledge. And that sacrifice should be done through Srimad Bhagavatam. And this was the instructions that was given to Narada Muni by Sanat Kumara. So Sanat Kumara Maharshi and Srinarada Maharshi discussed this point for a long time, and eventually Srinarada Maharshi invited Sanat Kumara Maharshi to perform this sacrifice in Haridwar. And that is how, after 30 years, after the second time Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, this Bhagavad lecture, this Srimad Bhagavatam was again spoken by Sanat Kumara Maharshi in a place called Anandam near Haridwar. And that is the third time this was again spoken. So 30 years from Krishna's departure from this planet, first time Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sudeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. 200 years from then, in the Tungabhadra River in Karnataka, where again Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. And 30 years since then, in Haridwar, Sanat Kumara Maharshi spoke Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of so many other people. And there certain incidents happened, which we will talk in the next lesson. Today we will read those two chapters from the Padma Puranam. Sachidananda Rupayam Visholpatyadihedami Tapatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Nama Yam Pravrajandamani Veda Veda Krityam Dvaivayano Virahakataram Ajuhava Putrezanmaidayattaravobhinedu Tam Sarvabhudakhdayam Munimanadosmi Naimishe Sudamasinam Abhivadya Mahamadin Katham Rudrasa Swadam Kushala Shavnego Bravil Shri Shavnego Vajam Ajnana Dvanda Vidvamsam Kodi Surya Samaprava Sudakhya Higadasaram Mamakarna Rasayanam Bhakti Jnana Viragapto Vivego Vardhade Mahan Maya Mohamira Sascha Vaishnavai Kriyade Katham Iha Khavare Kalav Prayo Jivascha Suradam Jala Klesha Kanda Seda Seiva Shodhane Kim Parayanam Shreya Samrad Bhava Yicheya Pavananam Javavanam Krishna Pratigaram Shashwal Sadhanam Tadvadagna Chinda Amanir Loga Sugam Suradru Surga Sambadam Praya Chari Guru Prido Vaikundham Yogi Durlapham Shri Sudha Vaja Priti Shavane Jitte Dehalo Vasmi Vijayareja Sarva Siddhanta Nishpanyam Samsara Bhayanashanam Bhakti Yoga Vardhanam Yacha Krishna Santosha Hedugam Tadaham Devidha Asyami Savadhana Daya Shunum Kalavyala Mukhagrasa Trasanarna Shahedave Srimad Bhagavadam Shastram Kalau Kirena Bhashiram Yenasmadavaram Tinjil Manashudhe Navidare Janmandare Bhavil Punyam Tada Bhagavadam Labhil Parichide Katham Maktum Sabhayam Samstide Shuge Sudha Kumbam Grihitueva Deva Satra Samagaman Shukam Matva Vadan Sarve Soka Ayakushala Sura Katha Sudham Prayachasva Grihitueva Sudhamimam Eva Minimay Jade Sudharatya Praviyam Prabhasyam Ovayam Sarve Srimal Bhagavadambadam Kwa Sudha Kwa Katha Loge Kwa Kaja Komanir Mahan Brahmarado Vijayam Tada Devan Jahasaham. When Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken first time by Sudeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, demigods came there with a pot of nectar and they asked Sudeva Goswami, let us exchange, give us Srimad Bhagavatam and give this nectar to Parikshit Maharaj. After all, Parikshit Maharaj was going facing death. So by taking nectar, he will get rid of the fear of death and he will relieve himself. That was the intention. But Sudeva Goswami apparently looked at the demigods and smiled, because according to Sudeva Goswami, they were not qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, because there were two things going on in demigods' life: continuous sense gratification and the higher standard of material life. What they're experiencing is not congenial or conducive for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's why it says there, Kosutha Kokatha Loge Kokwaja Konim Animar Mahan Brahmarado Vijarevam Tada Devanjaha Saham Abhaktam Samshavidnyaya Nadal Sakatha Madam Srimad Bhagavadi Varta Suranam Abhidurlabham.
राज्ञो मोक्षं तथा वीक्ष्य पुरा अथाता विस्मित सत्यलोके तुलां बद्ध कौलयत्साधनान्यज लेखोऽन्यन्यानि जातानि गौरवेणैदं महल् तदा कृषिगणा सर्वे विस्मयम् परमम् ययुम् मेनिरे भगवद्रूपम् शास्त्रम् भागवतम् खलु पाना श्रवणोत्सव्यो वैकुण्ठफलदायकम् सप्ताहेन शतम् चैव सर्वदा मुक्तिदायकम् सनकादीपुरप्रोक्तम् नारदायतया परे यद्यपि ब्रह्मसम्बन्धाश्रुतमेतत्सुरक्षिणा सदा श्रवणविधिकुमारैः सस्य भाषिता श्रीशौनकुवाच लोकविग्रहमुक्तस्य नारदस्य शिरस्य च विधिश्रवे कुतप्रीति संयोग कुत्र तैः सह सूतवाच अत्र ते कीर्तयिष्यामि भक्तियुक्तम् कथानकम् शुकेन मम यल् प्रोक्तम् रह शिष्यम् विचार्य च एकदाहि विशालायाम् चत्वार क्षयोमन सत्सङ्गार्थम् समायाद ददृशुस्तत्र नारद कुमार ऊजु कथम् ब्रह्मन् दीनमुखा कुतश्चित् आदुरो भवान् त्वरितम् गम्यते तत्र कुतश्चागमनम् तव इदानीम् शून्यजितोऽसि गतवितो यथा जन तवेदमुक्तसङ्गस्य अमोचितम् वद कारणम् श्रीनारद उवाच अहम् तु पृथिवीम् व्यादो ज्ञात्वा सर्वोत्तमामिति पुष्करम् च प्रयागम् च काशीम् गोदावरीम् तदा हरिक्षेत्रम् गुरुक्षेत्रम् श्रीरङ्गम् सेतुबन्धनम् एवमादिशतुर्थेषु भ्रममाणम् इतस्तदा न अवश्यम् गत्र यच्छन्मामनः सन्तोषकारकम् कलिना धर्ममित्रेण धरेयम् भातिदाधुना सत्यम् नास्ति तपशौजम् दया दानम् न विद्यते उदरम् भरिणो जीव वराका कूटभाषिणा मन्दासु मन्दपदयो मन्दभाग्या शिवदृदाः पाखण्डनिरदा सन्दो विरक्ता सपरिग्रह तरुणी प्रबुदागेः शालगोबुद्धिनायक कन्या विक्रयिणो लोभ दम्पतीनाम् च कल्पनम् आश्रमायमने यद्वृद्धास्तीर्थानि सरिदस्तथा देवदायतनान्यत्रा दुष्टे अष्टानि भूरिष न योगी नैव सिद्धो वा न ज्ञानी सल्क्रियो न वा कलिदा वानलेनाद्य साधनम् वस्मदाम् गतम् अटशूला जनपदाशिवशूलाद्विजादया कामिन्य केशशूलिन्य सम्भवन्ति कला विह एवम् पश्यन् कलेर्दोषान् पर्यटन् भवनीमहम् यामुनम् तडमापन्नो यत्र लीला हरे अभूल् तत्र आश्चर्यम् मया दृष्टम् श्रूयणाम् तमिनीश्वर एकाद्गुरुणी तत्रा मिषणा खिन्नमानसा वृद्धोऽधोपलितौ पार्श्वे निश्वे सन्दामचेतनौ शुश्रूषन्ति प्रबोधन्ति उदधी च तयो पुर दशभिक्षु निरीक्षन्ति दक्षिणारम् निजम् वपु विज्यमाना शलस्त्रैर्बोध्यमानः मुहुर्मुहुः दृष्ट्वा दुरागस्वहम् कौतुकेन तदन्दियम् माम् दृष्ट्वा चोतितो बाला विह्वला च ब्रवीद्वच बालोवाच भो भो साधोक्षणम् दृष्टामच्चिन्तामपि नाशये दर्शनम् तव लोकस्य सर्वथा गहनम् परम् बहुदादमवाक्येन दुःखशान्तिर्भविष्यति यदा भाग्यम् भवेद्भूरि भवता दर्शनम् ददा श्रीनारद उवाच कासि त्वाम् काविमौ चैव आर्यका कल्पनोजन वदते विसविस्तारम् स्वस्य दुःखस्य कारणम् बालोवाच अहम् भक्तिर्विख्यात इमौ मे तनयो मदौ ज्ञानवैराग्यनामानो कालयोगेण जर्जरौ गङ्गाध्यासरिदश्येमामल्सेवार्थम् समागता तथा विनजमेश्रया सेविदाया सुरैरपि इदानीम् शृणुमद्वार्ताम् सचिदस्त्वम् तवोधन वार्ता मे मम विदताप्यस्तिकाम् श्रुत्वा सुखमावह उत्पन्नाद्रविदे सहम् वृद्धिम् कर्णाटके गदा क्वचिल् क्वचिल् महाराष्ट्रे गुर्जरे जीर्णदाम् गदा तत्र घोरकलेर्योगाल् पाखण्डे खण्डिनाङ्गदा दुर्बलाहम् चिरम् यादौ पुत्राभ्याम् सहमन्ददाम् वृन्दावनम् पुनः प्राप्य नवीनेव स्वरूपिणी जाराहम् योनि सम्यक् प्रष्टरूपादसाम्रणम् इमौ ऋषैदावत्र सुतौ मे क्लिशलश्रमान् इदम् स्थानम् परित्यज्य विदेशम् गम्यते मया जगदत्वम् समाया योगेन दुःखेन दुःखिता साहम् तरणीकस्मान् सुतौ वृद्धाविदौ कुत त्रयाणाम् सहजारित्वाद्वैपरीत्यम् कुतस्थितम् घटते जगडामाधा तरुणौ तनया विधि अदश्योजामि जात्मानम् विस्मया विश्वमानसा वद योगनिधे धीरन् कारणम् चत्रकिम् भवेल् श्रीनारद उवाच ज्ञानेनात्मनि पश्यामि सर्वमेदत्तवानखे न विषादस्त्वया कार्यो हरिशम् ते करिष्यति सूत उवाच क्षणमात्रेण ज्ञात्वा वाक्यमुजीमुनीश्वर श्रीनारद उवाच शुमृषहिरो बाले युगोऽयम् दारुण कलीकेन लुप्तस्तदाचारो योगमार्गस्तवांसिजा जनाम् अखासुरायन्ते शाठि दुष्कर्मकारिणा इह सन्दोमिषीदन्ति प्रकृष्यन्ति ह्यसाधवा दत्ते धैर्यम् दुदयो यो धीमान् सधीर पाण्डितो पण्डितो अथवा अस्पृश्यानवलोक्येयम् शेषभारवरीधरा वर्षे वर्षे क्रमाज्ज्वाला मङ्गलम् आदिदृश्यते न तु अवमपि सुतैः साकम् कोऽपि पश्यन्ति साम्प्रतम् उपेक्षितानुरागान्धेर्जर्जरत्वेन संस्थिता वृन्दावनस्य संयोगाल् पुनस्त्वम् धरुणी नव धन्यम् वृन्दावनम् तेन वक्तिर्नृत्यते यत्र च अत्र एमौ ग्राहको भावान् अजरामविमुञ्चना किञ्चिदात्मसुखेनेह प्रसृत्यर्मन्यते नयो भक्तिरुवाच കഥം പരീക്ഷിതം രാജ്ഞാം സ്വാമിതോ അശുചിക്കലി പ്രവർത്തേതു കലവും സർവസാരപുത്രഗതോ മഹാൻ കരുണാഭരണേഹരിണ അധർമ്മധർമ്മമീക്ഷതേ ഇമം മേ സംശയം ചിന്തി ത്വദ്വാച സുഖിതാസ്മ്യഹം ശ്രീനാരദവാച ഇതി പ്രശസ്ത്വയാ ബാലേ പ്രേമനശ്രവണം കുരു സർവം വക്ഷ്യാമി ദേ ഭദ്രേ കഷ്മലം ദേ ഗമിഷ്യതി യദാ മുകുന്ദോ ഭഗവാൻ ശ്മാം ചെത്വാ സ്വപദം ഗതാ തദ്ദിനാൽ കലിതായാദ സർവസാധന ബാധക ദൃഷ്ടോ ദിഗ്വിജയരാജ്ഞ ദീനവച്ചരണം ഗത നമയാമരണീയോയം സാരംഗമിവ സാരഭോ യൽഫലം നാസികവസാമയോഗേന സമാധിന തൽഫലം ലഭതേ സമ്യക് കലോ കേശവകീർത്തനാൽ ഏകാകാരം കലിം ദൃഷ്ട്വാ സാരവത്സാരനീരസം വിഷുരാധ സ്ഥാപിതവാൻ കലിജാനാം സുഖായ ച കുകർമാചരണാൽ സാര സർവതോ മൃഗദോധുന പദാർത്ഥാ സംസ്ഥിതോ ഭൂമോ ബീജഹീന സുഷായഥ വിപ്രൈർഭഗവതീ വാർത്താ ഗഹേ ഗഹേ ജനേ ജനേ കാരിതാ കണലോഭേന കഥാ സാരസ്തോ ഗതാം അത്യുഗ്രഭൂരികർമാണോ നാസ്തികാഗ്രൗരവോചന ദേവി തിഷ്ഠന്തിഷു തൃപ്തസാരസ്തോ ഗതാം കാമക്രോധ മഹാലോപതൃഷ്ണ വ്യാകുലചേതസ ദേവി തിഷ്ഠന്തി തപസി തപസാരസ്തോ ഗതാം മനസശ്ചാചയാ ലോഹോ ദന്ഭാൽപാഖണ്ഡ സംശ്രയാൽ ശാസ്ത്രാനഭ്യസനാ ചൈവ ധ്യാനയോഗബലം ഗതം പണ്ഡിതാസ്തുക്കളത്രേണ രമന്ദേ മഹിഷായിവ പുത്രോസ്യോൽപാദനേ ദക്ഷ അദക്ഷ മുക്തിസാധനേ നഹി വൈഷ്ണവദാ പുത്രസമ്പ്രദായ വിരസര ഏവം പ്രളയനാം പ്രാപ്തോ വസ്തുസാര സ്ഥലേ സ്ഥലേ അയം ഭൂതധർമ്മോ ഹി വർത്തതേ കസ്യ ദൂഷണം അതസ്തു പുണ്ഡരീകാക്ഷാ സഹദേ നികടസ്ഥിത സൂതവാചാം ഇതി തദ്വചനം ശ്രുത്വാ വിസ്മയം പരമം ഗതാ ഭക്തിയൂജൈ വജോ ഭൂയ ശ്രൂയതാം തച്ച ശൗനജാം ഭക്തിരുവാച സുരക്ഷേത്വം ഹി നന്യോസി വൽഭാഗ്യേന സമാഗത സാധൂനാം ദർശനം ലോകേ സർവസിദ്ധികരം പരം ജയതി ജഗതിമായം യസ്യ ഗായാധവസ്തേ വചനജനമേകം കേവലം ചാകലയ്യ ധ്രുവപദമപിയാദോ യൽകൃവാദോ ധ്രുവോയം സകലകുശലപാത്രം ബ്രഹ്മപുത്രം നതോസ്മി ശ്രീമത്പുരാണ ഉത്തരഖണ്ഡേ ശ്രീമത്ഭാഗവത മഹാത്മേ ഭക്തിനാല സമാഗമോ നാമ പ്രഥമോധ്യായം ശ്രീനാരദവാചാവൃതാഖേദയസേ ബാലി അഹോ ചിന്താദുരക്കഥം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണചരണാംബോജം സ്മരദുഃഖം ഗമിഷ്യതി ദ്രൗപദീജപരിപ്രാദായേന കൗരവകശ്മനാൽ പാലിതാ ഗോപസുന്ദര്യാ സകൃഷ്ണ ക്വാപിനോഗതാം ത്വന്തു ഭക്തിപ്രിയാ തസ്യാ സന്തതം പ്രാണദോധിക ത്വയാഹൂദസ്തു ഭഗവാൻ യാതിനീച ഗ്രഹേഷ്വപി സത്യായുത്രയുഗേ ബോധവൈരാഗ്യോ മുക്തിസാധകോ കലൗതു കേവല ഭക്തർ ബ്രഹ്മസായുജ്യകാരണി ഇതി നിശ്ചതി ധ്രുവസദ്രുവാ ത്വാം സസർജ പരമാനന്ദജിന്മൂർത്തി സുന്ദരീം കൃഷ്ണവല്ലഭാം ഗത്വാഞ്ജലിം ത്വയാ പൃഷ്ടം കിം കരോമി ജയത ത്വം തദാജ്ഞാവയൽ കൃഷ്ണോ മൽഭക്താൻ പോഷയേരി ച അംഗീകൃതം ത്വയാ തദ്വൈ പ്രസന്നോ ബുദ്ധരി സദാ മുക്തിം ദാസീം ദദോ തുഭ്യം ജ്ഞാനവൈരാഗ്യകാവിമൌ പോഷണം സ്വേന രൂപേണ വൈകുണ്ഠേ ത്വം കരോഷി ച ഭൂമോ ഭക്തവിഘോഷായ ഛായാരൂപം ത്വയാ കൃതം മുക്തി ജ്ഞാനം വിരക്തിം ച സഹകൃത്വാ ഗതാ ഭുവി കൃതാദിത്വാവരസ്യാന്തം മഹാനന്ദേന സംസ്ഥിത കലോ മുക്തിക്ഷയം പ്രാപ്ത പാഖണ്ഡാമയ പീഡിത തദ്വാജ്ഞയാഗതാ ശീഘ്രം വൈകുണ്ഠം പുനരേ വസാം സ്മൃതാ ത്വയാ വിചാത്രൈവ മുക്തിരായാദിയാദിജ പുത്രീകൃത്യത്വയേ ഇമൗജ പാർശ്വേ സ്വസൈവ രക്ഷിതൗം ഉപേക്ഷാത കലോ മന്ദോ വൃദ്ധോ ജാതോ സുതൗ തവ തഥാ വിചിന്താമുഞ്ചത്വാ ഉപായ ചിന്തയാമ്യഹം കലിനാ സദൃശക്കോപി യുഗോ നാസ്തി വരാനനെ തസ്മിൻ സ്വം സ്ഥാപയിഷ്യാമി ഗേഹേ ഗേഹേ ജനേ ജനേ അന്യധർമാസ്ഥിരസ്ത്രത്യ പുരസ്കൃത്യ മഹോത്സവാൻ തദാനഹം ഹരേർദാസോ ലോകേ ത്വം ന പ്രവർത്തയേം ജീവാ ഭവിഷ്യന്തി കലാവിഹ പാപിനോപി ഗമിഷ്യന്തി നിർഭയം കൃഷ്ണമന്ദിരം യേഷാം ചിത്തേ വസേൽ ഭക്തി സർവദാ പ്രേമരൂപിണി മതേ പശ്യന്തി നാശം സ്വപ്നേ പ്രബലമൂർത്തയ ന പ്രേതോ ന പിശാചോ വാ രാക്ഷസോ വാ സുരോപി വാ ഭക്തിയുക്ത മനസ്കാനം സ്പർശേന ന പ്രമുർഭവേൽ നഗോപിർ ന വേദൈശ്ച ന ജ്ഞാനേ നാവികർമ്മണ ഹരിർഹി സാധ്യതേ ഭക്ത്യാ പ്രമാണം തത്ര ഗോപിക നൃണാം ജന്മസഹസ്രേണ ഭക്തോ പ്രീതിർഹി ജായതേ കലോ ഭക്തി കലോ ഭക്തി ഭക്ത്യാ കൃഷ്ണ പുരസ്ഥിത ഭക്തർദ്രോഹകരായേ ജേ സീതന്തി ജഗത്രയേ ദുർവാസാ ദുഃഖമാപന്ന പുരാ പുരാ ഭക്തമീന്ദയ അലം വ്രതയിലം തീർത്ഥവലം യോഗൈരലം മഹേ അലം ജ്ഞാനകഥാലോപയർ ഭക്തിരേകൈവ മുക്തിത സൂതവാച ഇതി നാരദനിർമീതം സ്വമഹാത്മ്യം നിശം യഥാ സർവാംഗപുഷ്ടി സംയുക്ത നാരദം വാക്യമബ്രവീൽ ഭക്തിരുവാച അഹോ നാരദന്യോസി പ്രീതി സ്ഥേമൈ നിശ്ചല ന കഥാതി ദ്വിപുഞ്ചാമി ചിത്തേ സാ സമി സർവദാ കൃപാവിന ത്വയാ സാധോ മത്ഭോധാ ധ്വംസിതോക്ഷണാൽ പുത്രയോശേദന നാസ്തി കഥോ ബോധയ ബോധയ സൂതവാച തസ്യാവജ സമാകർമ്മ്യകാരുണ്യം നാരദോഗത തയോർഭൂതനമാരേഭി കരാഗ്രഹണ വിമർദ്ദയൻ മുഖം സംയോജ്യ കർമാന്നേ ശബ്ദമുച്ചൈ സമുച്ചരൻ ജ്ഞാന പ്രബുദ്ധ്യതാം ശീഘ്രം ഏ വൈരാഗ്യ പ്രബുദ്ധ്യതാം വേദവേദാന്ത ഘോഷൈശ്ചാ ഗീതവാദേർ മുഹുർമുഹു ബോധ്യമാനോ തദാദീന കഥം ചിൽ ചോതിധോ ഫലാൻ നേത്രൈ അനവലോകന്തോ ജൃംബന്തോ സലസാബുഭോ ഭഗവൽ പലിതോ ഉപായ ശുഷ്കകാഷ്ട സമംഗതോ శృక్షామౌ తౌ నిరీక్ష్యైవ పునః స్వావరాయణౌ ఋషిశ్చిందావరోజా కిం విధేయం మయేది చ అహో నిద్రాకరం వ్యాధి వృద్ధత్వం చ మహత్వరం చిందయన్నిది గోవిందం స్మరయామాస భార్గవ వ్యోమవాణీ తదైవా భూన్మాహృషే ఖిద్యదామిది ఉద్యమ సబలస్థేయం భవిష్యది స సంశయం ఏదరత్తం సల్కర్మాసురర్షే త్వం సమాచర తత్తే కర్మాభిరాస్యంది సాధవా సాధుభూషణ సల్కర్మణి కృతే తస్మిన్ సనిద్రా వృధానయో జమిష్యది క్షణాన్ భక్తి సర్వదా ప్రసరిష్యది ఇత్యాశవజ స్పష్టం తల్సర్వై రవిశ్వనం నారదో విస్మయం లేభే నేదం జ్ఞానమిది భువన్ శ్రీ నారద వాచ అనే ఆకాశవాణ్యాపి గోప్యత్వేన నిరూపితం కిం వా తల్సాధనం కార్యం యన కార్యం భవేతయో క్వ భవిష్యంది సందస్తే కథం దాస్యంది సాధనం మయా అత్ర కిం ప్రకర్తవ్యం విదుక్తం వ్యోమ భాషయా శ్రీ సూదవాజా తత్ర ద్వావి సంస్థాపి నిర్గతో నారదో ముని తీర్థం తీర్థం వినిష్క్రమ్య పృచ్ఛ మార్గే మునీశ్వరాన్ వృత్తాంత శూయతే సర్వై కించిల్ నిశ్చిత్య నోచరే అసాధ్యం కేచన ప్రోజో దుర్జతే దుర్జ్ఞేయం ఇది చాపరే మూగీకృతావదస్థానే ప్రియం దస్తులా ఇద అహాకారో మహానాసి త్రైలోక్యం విస్మయావహ వేద వేదాంతకోశైశ్చ గీతపాఠైర్విభోదినం భక్తి జ్ఞాన విరాగాణం నోదతిష్టోత్రయం యథా ఉపాయో నాపరోస్తి కర్ణే కర్ణే జవంజన యోగినారదేనాపి స్వయం తో జ్ఞాయతే గుయల్ తల్కథం శక్యతే వక్తుం ఇవరైహ మానుషై ఏమం జర్షిగణే పృష్టే నిర్నియోక్తం దురాసదం తతశ్చిందాదరస్వదాపద్రీవనమాగద తపశ్చరామిగత్రై తదర్థం కృత నిశ్చయ తావల్లదర్శవరదస్తనగాది మునీశ్వరాన్ కోటి సూర్య సమాభాసం ఉవాచ మునిసత్తమా శ్రీనారద ఉవాచ ఇదానీ గురిభాగేన భవద్విస్సంగమో భవల్ కుమారా బ్రూదాం శీఘ్రం కృపాం తత్వా మహోబలి భవందో యోగిన సర్వే భవందో యోగిన సర్వే బుద్ధిమందో బహుశ్రుతా పంచహాయన సంయుక్త పూర్వేషామపి పూర్వజ సదా వైకుంఠ నిలయ హరికీర్తన తల్పన లీలామదర సమన్మత్త కథా మాత్రైక జీవిన హరిశరణమేవం హి నిత్యం యేషాం ముఖే వజ అద కాల సమాదిష్టో జరాయుష్మాన్న భారతే యేషాం భ్రూభంగమాత్రేణ ద్వారపాలౌ హరే పురా భూమౌ నిబదితౌ సద్యో యల్కృపాద పురంగతౌ అహో భాగ్యస్ యోగేన దర్శనం భవామిహ అనుగ్రహస్సు కర్తవ్యో మై దీనే దయాపరే అశీర గిరోక్తం యదల్కల్కిం సాధనముచ్యతాం అనుష్ఠేయం కథం తావల్ ప్రబ్రువందు సవిస్తరం భక్తి జ్ఞాన విరాగాణం సుగముల్పద్యతే గతం స్థావనం సర్వవర్ణేషు ప్రేమపూర్వం ప్రయత్నతా కుమారముజు మాం చిందాం గురుదే వర్షే హర్షం చిత్తే సుమావహ ఉపాయ సుఖసాధ్యోత్ర వర్తతే పూర్వమే హి అహో నారదన్యోసి విరక్తానాం శిరోమణి సదా శ్రీకృష్ణదాసానాం అగ్రణి యోగభాస్కరాం త్వయి చిత్రం మందవ్యం భక్త్యర్థమనివర్తిని ఖడదే కృష్ణదాసస్య భక్తే సంస్థావనా సదా కృషిర్బహవో లోకే బంధాన ప్రగటీకృత శ్రమసాధ్యాశ్చరే సర్వే ప్రాయ స్వర్గబల ప్రదాం వైకుంఠ సాధక పంధా సద్గోప్యో హి వర్తతే తస్య ఉపదేష్టావృష ప్రాయో భాగ్యేన లభ్యతే సల్కర్మదవ నిర్దిష్టం వ్యోమవాచాదియల్పుర తదుచ్చరే శ్రమస్వాద్య స్థిరచిత్త ప్రసన్నది ద్రవ్యయజ్ఞాస్తవోయజ్ఞయోగయజ్ఞస్తథాపరి స్వాధ్యాయజ్ఞానయజ్ఞేదు కర్మ విసూచక సల్కర్మ సూచకోనం జ్ఞానయజ్ఞ స్మృతోభుదే శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాలాపం సదుగీత శుగాదిభి భక్తి జ్ఞాన విరాగానం తల్ఘోషేణ బలం మహల్ వృతిషది ద్వయో కష్టం సుఖం భక్తేర్భవిష్యతి ప్రళయం హి గమిష్యంతి శ్రీమద్ భాగవతధ్వని కలేర్దోషమే సర్వే సింహశబ్దాల్ దదామివ జ్ఞానవైరాగ్య సంయుక్త భక్తి ప్రేమరసావహ ప్రదేహం ప్రతిజ్ఞనం తదక్రీడాం కరిష్యతి శ్రీనారద ఉవాచ వేద వేదాంతకోశైశ్చ గీతపాఠే ప్రబోధినం భక్తి జ్ఞాన విరాగానం రసతిష్టం నాస్తే స్వాధ్యతే యథా సంభూయ సంప్రదగ్భూత ఫలే విశ్వమనోహరం యథా దుగ్ధే స్థిరం సర్పిన్న సర్పాదవై కల్పదే పృథగ్భూతం హి గల్గవ్యం దేవానాం రసవర్ధనం ఇక్షూణామాది మధ్యాహ్నం శకరా వ్యాపతిష్టది పృథగ్భూతాజసామిష్టా తదా భాగవతీ కథా ఇదం భాగవతం నామం పురాణం బ్రహ్మసంహితం భక్తి జ్ఞాన విరాగానం స్థావనాయ ప్రకాశనం వేదాంత వేద సుస్థానే గీతాయామవికర్తరి పరితాభవతి వ్యాసే ముఖ్యత్యజ్ఞాన సాగరే తదా త్వయా పురా ప్రోక్తం జది శ్లోక సమన్వితం తదీయ శ్రవణాల్ సద్యో నిర్భాదో బాధరాయణ తత్ర వే విస్మయకేన యద ప్రశ్నకరమో భవాన్ శ్రీమల్ భాగవతం శ్రావ్యం శోక దుఃఖ వినాశనం శ్రీ నారద వాచ యల్ దర్శనం జమిహంది శుభాని సద్య శ్రేయస్తనోది భవదుఃఖ భవాభిధానం నిశేష శేషముఖ గీతగదైకమానం ప్రేమ ప్రకాశ హృదయే శరణం గతోస్మి భాగ్యోదయన బహు జన్మ సమార్జయన సత్సంగం జలపదే పురుషో యదాయి వై అజ్ఞాన హేతు కృత మోహమద అంధకారం నాశం విధాయ హి తదో దయదే వివేక శ్రీమద్ పద్మపురాణే ఉత్తర గండే శ్రీమద్ భాగవత మహాత్మ్యం కుమార నారద సంవాదే ద్వితీయోధ్యాయం సో దాట్ టూ చాప్టర్స్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ది గ్లోరీస్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం వెన్ ఇట్ వాస్ స్పోకన్ first time
between Sri Sudai Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, and later on at with Tungabhadra River, where second time it was repeated, and the third time between Sri Sanat Kumara Maharshi recited Bhagavatam for the sake of Sri Narada Muni. Narada Muni, when he heard this, only realized that the Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, what he has spoken to Vedavyasa Maharshi, he was unaware of the glories of the Bhagavatam. So he was very much affected by that, and that explanation comes in the next two chapters. So there's any questions or comments?
Srila Prabhupada says, to read the Srimad Bhagavatam,
yeah,
first one has to read the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then he has to enter the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is for significance to say Prabhupada like this. Prabhupada says, first read the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then go to Srimad Bhagavatam, you can understand properly.
Right.
So any significance he got?
Yes, there is a significance in saying that. The reason is that when somebody has no concept of spiritual life, when completely coming from a full material consciousness, Bhagavad Gita makes that person to understand what life is meant for. That anybody who has read Bhagavad Gita very seriously will understand that till then, you can see, for example, students go to schools and colleges. After he has taken his degree and everything and he has come home, you ask him, what are you going to do now? He will answer you, I don't know what I'm going to do. That will be the answer. Till now, I had school and college to go to. Now, today that's also over. I got my degree. Now, where do I go? This question comes. Because that is the deficiency of the education. Because after spending about 5 or 8 years in the university and 10 or 11 years in the school, the person comes out, and if you ask him, what are you going to do now? He says, I don't know. This is the value of this modern education. Bhagavad Gita, when one has studied seriously, Krishna will tell him, this is what I will do in my life. So that determination in spiritual life one gets from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is instructing very clearly that every doubt, what Arjuna had was in the same predicament, that when he realized that what should I do now, after becoming a Kshatriya and learning how to fight the war, Arjuna was asking, what shall I do now? This was the question. And here is Krishna clearing Arjuna's mind and telling him, this is what you should do. And similarly, this address to Nimitta Matram Bhava Savyasajin in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is keeping Arjuna as one object and addressing the whole world through Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying, this is what life is meant for, to develop Krishna consciousness. So this, I will do this in my life, and that determination and that firm mind one obtains from studying Bhagavad Gita. And after one has developed that understanding, then when he probes further into Krishna consciousness, he sees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the history of Krishna's mercy to the devotees. So that takes him to a higher understanding. So Bhagavad Gita is necessary. Without Bhagavad Gita, one cannot. That's why all the great personalities in this world, they were inspired by Bhagavad Gita, because Bhagavad Gita removes all the misconceptions of bodily concept of life, misconceptions of identity, false identity with the falsities of this world, and brings a person to understand that his real relationship is with Krishna. All other relationships are false in this world, but somehow or the other, due to influence or the ignorance and all other illusion, we identify with various things and or acts on a false platform. One who has absorbed Bhagavad Gita completely into his consciousness will not act on that platform. He will act completely in Krishna consciousness. That's why Prabhupada titled many of the chapters, Action Krishna Consciousness. Why? Because that when that realization comes to a person, he acts on the platform of Krishna consciousness. He does not act anymore on the platform of identification with the body. That goes away from that person. That's why that point is very specifically stressed there. That takes out from this bodily concept, brings the person to spiritual concept first of all, and then comes the later other things.
Krishna says devotional service. Devotion service is the only way to attain him.
Yeah.
But why he kept then after devotion service, bhakti yoga, then he kept jnana yoga? Yeah. What is the
Bhagavad? Everybody in this world are not have the same mentality. Some people are inclined towards other processes also. You will see in the third canon in the Bhagavadam, after speaking to Devahuti Devi, Kavila Vasudev, the whole process of bhakti yoga, She is asking, is there any other process? It's the first question she has put to him. And there it says there, you can see from there that Devahuti Devi did not ask that question for herself, but she wanted others also, because there are people who may not have the desire to come to Bhakti Yoga process. They may be interested in the other process of yoga system. Like, Vedic system is not a closed system, that it accommodates everyone. So those who have a desire for developing spiritual life through the Bhakti Yoga process, they have an opportunity. Similarly, Jnana Yoga process also. Similarly, Karma Yoga process. Everything is there. It's a whole life of an individual living entity is covered in the Vedic concept of life. It's not that I give you a process religion, you practice it for a couple of days and then do rest of the life whatever you like. No. It covers everything, the aspect of all aspects of human life. And it also tells you that those who cannot, it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Krishna says also who is qualified for Bhakti Yoga. Very clearly he mentions there. He says there that Idrachaya Malkadasu Jada Shraddho Vyapuman Nanurvino Nadi Sakto Bhakti Yogostu Siddhidaha. That a Bhakti Yoga process suits such a person who is not too attached to this world or who is too renounced. It is that person, which means 99.9% of this world's population is in that shape. That majority of the people who come to spiritual life, they are in that consciousness. On one hand, they like to have all the comforts of this world. On the other hand, they know that this happiness in this world is also very much a temporary thing. Tomorrow they have to leave everything, and they are also conscious of that fact that they have to leave this world. So Krishna says there, na narvino na disakto. One who is very attached is not good for spiritual, for Bhakti Yoga process. Not na narvino, one who has completely renounced everything. Bhakti Yoga vasu siddhira. For whom? For their purpose. Krishna says to Uddhava that I have spoken this process of Bhakti Yoga. So everything has got its own place in this, in Bhagavad Gita. That's why Jnana Yoga was spoken by pointing at certain people. Bhakti Yoga was spoken to some people, Karma Yoga was spoken to addressing somebody else. But eventually, all this Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga, they also have to come to the process of Bhakti Yoga. That because Bhakti Yoga process is the ultimate way one can realize Krishna as a person. Otherwise, it will all remain on an intermediary platform. It will not take you to the perfection of human life.
I've got two questions. One is, you know, you said Krishna spoke to Srimad Bhagavatam, and after 30 years, it was spoken again.
No, I think maybe I have didn't put it properly. That the the first time Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, 30 years after Krishna left this planet. That is when Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. 200 years since then, after that, Srimad Bhagavatam was again spoken, which I will talk in detail next Sunday. That in the Tungabhadra River, there was a Brahmana's life which was entangled in a different way, and he freed himself from in his life by listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. That was spoken second time. The third time, it was again spoken in Haridwar, in a place called Anandam, near Haridwar. And it was this third time that Srinarayana Maharshi, along in the association of other devotees, heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sanat Kumara Maharshi. The sage Sanat Kumara, one of the four Kumaras, spoke Srimad Bhagavatam there. So these are the three instances when Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken after Krishna's departure. Yes. The major instances, I'm saying, among the sages. After all, of course, since then, many places Srimad Bhagavatam has been read, listened, spoken and heard by people. But these three instances are mentioned in the Padma Puranam for one reason only, that in all these three instances was proving the point that Srimad Bhagavatam is not like any other Puranas. Compared to all the Puranas, Bhagavatam has a very special, unique position. And that uniqueness is this, that conditioned soul, when he is going through this world, through the cycle of birth and death, coming with all false conceptions about life, and misled by all the propaganda goes around, and eventually not knowing which way direction to turn, that when he takes to shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is freed from that illusion. He releases himself and comes to a perfect understanding that Krishna's servant I am. My duty is to serve Krishna. My permanent relationship is only with Krishna, not with any other living entity in this world. So all the illusion goes away and pure knowledge, Krishna consciousness comes to that person, one who has come to take Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the experience of, and that experience practically was experienced by the listeners in Haridwar when this last third time when this happened.
You said when demigods came with the nectar.
Yeah.
for exchange.
Yeah.
And Sukadeva Swami said that all the
more. Qualified, yeah.
But they're superior to us, aren't they?
They're superior to us in the sense that they're superior to us only in one sense, that they have been given a special capabilities like what we don't have. For example, demigods have been given an authority position by Krishna in the hierarchy or in the administrative positions. Apart from that, they don't have any other superiority. The human life is much more easier to cultivate devotion. Demigods have one problem. Many times demigods fall into this illusion that they are Supreme Lord themselves. That's one of their difficult situation. Although they are devotees, the other difficulty is that the higher standard of life they enjoy, or they have the higher standard of sense gratification also. For that specific reason, Sukadeva Goswami told them that you are not qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is meant for people, along with devotion, these two things, knowledge and renunciation, has to develop simultaneously. When there is no renunciation, whatever, how many amount of times you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, eventually that will not have the desired impact on the person's mind. Or if you look at it this way, that the studying Srimad Bhagavatam is not a mechanical process. And by mechanically you can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. It says in the Bhaktya Bhagavatam Yayam, Na Virpatya Na Tigaya. In other words, Sridhajaya Swamiji says there, the greatest commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, only by bhakti you will understand what is Bhagavatam. And it is a very simple statement. But when you think about it, you can see that Bhaktya Bhagavatam Yayam, Na Virpatya Na Tigaya. That means, by studying like a scholar, or by studying all the literature or the language, you will not understand Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam you will understand when Krishna wants you to understand that. And Krishna will want you to understand when Krishna finds that this person has that purity at heart. And then he will allow that person to understand the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is a mystery for many, many people. Many devotees, they study whole life and they still say that they find difficult to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And many, many things what is mentioned in the Bhagavatam also is a mystery to us, because we, generally by nature, we are seeing everything through senses. And this sensual perception is our main problem. Because through sensual perception, we think that this everything what we through senses is the only truth. Everything else is false. This is very strongly in our mind. And it is with this understanding that we are reading, we are listening, we are hearing, we are doing all activities through the senses. But Bhagavatam is not something you can absorb through the senses like that, because it's on a higher consciousness. When Sukadeva Goswami is talking about the fifth canto of what he is seeing in the creation, you won't find anywhere these statements what Sukadeva Goswami has spoken in the fifth canto. That he is seeing different Kimpurusha Varsham, Lavara Varsham, various Varshas, what he mentions there. All he is talking about, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking about, the Supreme Personality of Godhead present in these different locations, and is worshipped in these different places by different devotees in this particular way. That's all he is saying. It's not like, we see here, that when we have, for example, a tourist report, when tourists come, we issue them a leaflet saying that, look, you go to this place, you can have all this sense gratification in this place if you go to. But Sukadeva Goswami is not offering that. As far as Sukadeva Goswami is concerned, what he is talking about is what is in Krishna's creation, what he is seeing. And that vision will only come for a devotee when Krishna wants that to happen. And that's why absolute submission to Srimad Bhagavatam is necessary to understand what is in the Bhagavatam. Na vilpatya, na tigaya. Not by commentary, you can understand Bhagavatam. Not by other knowledges. So, that's the speciality of Srimad Bhagavatam. But those who have realized Srimad Bhagavatam, they uphold Bhagavatam. That is why, even after 5,000 years, after Krishna's departure from this world, even today if you ask, what is the book that is most widely read among the scholars of Vedic literature? It is Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is why it is still a mystery to people.
Well, Savana Rishi, when the second time Savana spoke in Naimisharanya.
Yeah.
And Rishi Dungabhadra, third time, second time.
Naimisharanya was first time, and then after that.
Today Goswami spoke to Kashi Maharaj.
Yeah.
Where it was?
Yes, that's
and
right.
Same time?
No,
200. After how many years so Savana Rishi spoke to Naimisharanya?
Naimisharanya, it was spoken much later. When Sukadeva Goswami was spoken, but that was the time when Srimad Bhagavatam came to this world openly. That what Sudha heard from Parishit Sudha Goswami And this Bhagavatam what's available today is what Sudha has told Shravanaka. That's what we have got it in our hand. So you will see in the first canto, he says there, Yatha Adhidam Yatha Mati. That means, I will don't think that I will tell you everything what I heard from Sudeva Goswami, because my intelligence is limited. This is what Sudeva Goswami says, Yatha Adhidam Yatha Mati. Whatever my intelligence has grasped from what Sudeva Goswami has spoken, I will talk to you. And that is how he presented to Shravanaka Rishi and others who were present there.
This is after
about 200 years later.
Yes, this is Gunga Bhutta.
That's right.
You know, when you say the third time, when Kumara spoke to
Yes, Sanat that's right. Sanat Kumara spoke, yeah.
To Narada.
Narada Maharshi, and in that meeting there were everybody, there were all the great sages who were present there, and that was the most important, because in that lecture when Sanat Kumara Maharshi spoke, Sanat Kumara Maharshi spoke not only about the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he spoke in length about what happens to in the age of Kali if one does not take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Those things he has spoken in that. And present in that meeting were all the great sages. There's a list of them mentioned, it comes in the next chapter, who were all present in that meeting. All the holy rivers personified, they were present there. Many, many demigods were present there. And eventually, at the end of that Bhagavatam, Supreme Krishna himself arrived there, in that. And Krishna himself was present there. And Krishna, and it is there Narada Maharshi realized that Bhagavatam can do such a thing, that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he noticed that in the assembly there were so many people present there. By the time Bhagavatam was progressing, he could see a change of consciousness happening in everybody who were present there. Most of the people, otherwise normally when first time when you come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the mind is at home or at work or in some business or something. Although physically you are present here, but the mind is elsewhere. But in that meeting, Sri Narada Maharshi says there that he experienced a change was happening. How? Their mind was working different direction. Automatically they started chanting Hare Krishna. This was the first thing happened. They started chanting Hare Krishna without any reservations. In other words, they were so free in their mind. Thoughts of Krishna was growing so strongly that they became in such a level, higher level of Krishna consciousness, he could see. So from there, Narada Maharshi says there, that what a surprise, he said. Normally, a person who has throughout life practiced, not practiced Krishna consciousness or practiced the material consciousness life, it is not easy to change that person's way of thinking by a few words spoken, simply by the process of hearing. But Srimad Bhagavatam had that potency.
What would happen if a devotee tries to surpass silly devotees in a consciousness.
Why you should surpass any devotee?
No, sometimes it happens, sometimes the devotees do. So,
there are so many things we do wrongly, that's what can we do? It's just the way.
It's an offenses, and people decide we will lose our tapasya.
Offenses means, that is why there are few things we have to always pray to Krishna, that we don't do these mistakes. One first thing is that pride don't build up in the mind. When pride builds up, everything goes. Krishna doesn't want to know anything about that person after that. It's the pride that separates us from Krishna. So when there is pride, it says there that a devotee is normally, in fact if you look at this, that there is this prayer, Gayatri. Gayatri is the greatest mantra chanted by the Brahmanas. What does this actually Gayatri means? Gayatri, if you analyze the words, Diyo Yona Prajolaya, all it means is, give me good intelligence. That's all it means. So if you continuously repeat to Krishna, give me good intelligence every day, that's what's Gayatri. Ultimately, Brahmanas chant this Gayatri only for the sake of getting this higher understanding. So Diyo Yona Prajolaya. So similarly, pride is the cause of all these problems. Similarly, it's also, if you look at it, that the other thing, unknowingly, we commit offenses. Every day we commit so many offenses, not only to devotees, to Krishna, to the deities, so many ways. So sometimes it is possible to recognize we have done some offense or apologize to God. But some instances it's not possible also. So you have to pray to Krishna that Krishna may forgive for all the offenses, what we are committing to others, to our devotees or to others. And thirdly, then these are simple prayers, what a devotee normally prays to Krishna, that he doesn't become proud unnecessarily, false proud doesn't build up, false pride doesn't build up, or give good intelligence to right act in the right direction. So this is the main thing, that one wants to work in the right direction. But often we will find in this world circumstances don't allow us to act in the proper way, or circumstances don't allow you to do what you want to do. So even if you have desire for Krishna consciousness, sometimes circumstances will force you to act in a different direction. So that's another thing, what one has to pray to Krishna, that Krishna allows you to take advantage of human life to develop Krishna consciousness. So that's another important thing. So like this, these few things, if one remembers, that one may not develop that tendency.
You need to read and understand Bhagavad Gita before Bhagavad Gita is read. In most instances, like myself, I haven't completely read the Bhagavad Gita, but I started reading in Bhagavad Gita. Do you think that is not the right method?
Well, what Srila Prabhupada told us, because Prabhupada was addressing to a very younger generation, you have to remember that who had very little worldly experience at that time. So in a young mind, it is better to put in a very systematic way the whole spiritual process. So Prabhupada instructed that we start with Bhagavad Gita and then move on to Srimad Bhagavatam. But it doesn't matter that if one has to, one relishes Srimad Bhagavatam, it is not going to do any harm to him. But it is important to understand that why Bhagavad Gita is important in one's life. Because without the basis of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam will not provide its desired result in due course. So Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, one can study together, but Bhagavad Gita should be learned as much as possible, what Krishna is instructing in that. Because that will, many things in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skanda in the 11th canto, is the same. Only thing is, there Krishna was encouraging Arjuna to fight. That was the motive behind it. Whereas in Bhagavatam, when Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, he was speaking to a devotee. So there is a slight difference there. In one instance, Krishna was prompting Arjuna to fight. And in the Ekadasha Skandam itself, Krishna says there, among the devotees, I am Uddhava. He didn't say, I am Arjuna. He says, I am Uddhava. But among the heroes, I am Arjuna, he says. Veeranam aham Arjuna. So Krishna has given their position. To Arjuna one position and to Uddhava another position. So if you read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam simultaneously, it's not going to cause any serious problems, but understanding Bhagavad Gita helps a person to understand the importance of Krishna consciousness. That this is what I'm going to do in my life, rest of my life. That determination will develop strongly.
Just to follow up, it's be advisable when a devotee sells you a Srimad Bhagavatam that they should advise you that you should really read Bhagavad Gita first. That's my advice.
Yeah. Yes, because if you start reading Srimad Bhagavatam straight away, many often you may not understand many things, what is the terminologies used in the Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is a little advanced in that side. It is for devotees basically meant to. Whereas Bhagavad Gita is opening to everyone. If one person who comes to spiritual life straight away, he can take to Bhagavad Gita. And one has accepted Bhagavad Gita in one's life, then he will find that Bhagavatam is very much rewarding. Because Bhagavatam is, what is Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is the history of Krishna's devotees, how they have acted in this world in different circumstances. And in spite of all the, and some of the characters in the Bhagavatam are telling us that you should become like us. And some of the characters are telling us, don't become like us. So this is how Bhagavatam teaches, develops that samskar in a person's mind. So you can understand Bhagavatam better when you have studied Bhagavad Gita nicely. It helps that way.
We hear Srimad Bhagavatam from various realized or different levels of realized persons.
Yeah.
In different classes. How do you see that in terms of you know, when they talk about hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of a pure devotee, can you explain, you know, how we should understand that?
Basically, Srimad Bhagavatam has to be heard from a devotee who is taking Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. Seriously in the sense that the message of Bhagavatam is very simple also, that one become a devotee and take to Krishna shelter. That's the message in the Bhagavatam. Now, if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and if that person reminds you of Krishna in any way, then one should hear that from anybody, it doesn't matter. But that person, by listening to him, that sometimes you hear Srimad Bhagavatam from somebody, perhaps the presentation may not be very good, that you're not able to really catch up with that. But at the same time, if what he has spoken, if you listen to it, and if it brings you some thoughts of Krishna, or the Krishna's activities in Vrindavan, or Dwaraka, or Kurukshetra, or anywhere, still it is good, because your mind has been able to absorb in Krishna, somehow or the other. So in such a situation, one should still hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But what Prabhupada used to say was that, those people who have taken this, preaching Krishna consciousness, just for the sake of acquiring wealth, material wealth, that one should not hear, because that will not bring the desired benefit from that. You should hear from a devotee who has taken Krishna consciousness for the sake of spiritual life, for advancing a spiritual life, not for maintaining a material body. So, such a thing should be avoided.
So, I'm curious to know, so why does Mukhi Devi rubbish as he's going to Karnataka or Maharashtra, but starts suffering as well?
It was only trying to prove this point, that when Mukhi Devi was in Karnataka, the devotees were so many there. When the devotees flourish, Bhakti Devi flourishes. So obviously it is an indication. You see, in Gujarat what happened was, immediately after Krishna's departure, the situation became very bad. And that is why it says there, Jirnaram Gujaram Thada. When I got into Gujarat, his situation was very weak. At that point, just remember, only at that point in time, and Maharashtra, she had grown up very well, because at that time it has to be understood that the devotees in Maharashtra were so many that because of that Bhakti Devi flourished. She got birth in Dravida, gone into Karnataka, went to Maharashtra, then to Gurjaram, and then to Vrindavana. So that's the process in the Ulpanne Saham Dravidam. That is how it says in the Ubudram. Okay, I think we'll stop there. For Lord Shishuna Prabhupada.
Yes,
I've not seen it for a long time. You guys sit down first.
Can I do some service?
No, I am okay. I have no life from all Krishna's grace.
Let's do the service.
I know what can be. How can I do it? No, I am okay. I'm fine. I told you, Shruti. So Shruti, there are three sons and a father. They were initiated by Prabhupada in the beginning. Here, one of the sons of Shivarachai. Shivarachai Vishnu is a sannyasi. He lives now in Vrindavan. Yeah, not far from our temple. Prabhupada installed the deities in their house. So they had an association with them, Prabhupada.
The fact that we are having this little association with we have got, it's our good fortune. Thank you.
I enjoyed very much listening to the end of the
something to say.
It's an exceptional
talk.
I enjoyed the lecture.
You're saying you should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from people who want to maintain their material body or money or something like that. How would you tell the difference?
It is very difficult actually, because in the this person's renunciation is a way to test a person's attachment to material life. Like, now sometimes Bhagavatam speakers, you can see them in India particularly, some of the Bhagavatam speakers, they maintain a very high level opulent lifestyle as well. And that is an indication that the person hasn't got that, although he is learned, he is scholar, and he can speak from Bhagavatam nicely, but still his material attachment has not gone away. And in such instances, that hearing from him may not have the benefit. But hearing from somebody who has developed a high degree of detachment to material world and trying to advance on the spiritual path, such a person one should hear. It will benefit. Like all the Goswamis, when they spoke and studied Bhagavatam, their renunciation was the thing that has given them that special position. Like in Radha Dama, the temple, when Gopalavati Goswami was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, all the other Goswamis used to listen, and they had discussions on Srimad Bhagavatam. And their lifestyle was such that it was absolutely faultless because of the way they maintained themselves. So that's an important point. But on the other hand, you have to also remember that many instances when people are speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, if they have no other livelihood, it is the duty of the society to maintain them. It's not that they should be condemned and thrown away. So somehow or the other they should be looked after. But that person should also understand when he is being maintained by the public that he has to think that by Krishna's grace I am provided for livelihood. I don't have any other higher plans than that to increase my material.
So it could happen within ISKCON itself.
It can happen anywhere.
Could you hear stories?
It can happen anywhere.
Of gurus who suddenly take money away and leave the movement. Would they be actually doing it for?
Yes, that's the way. That means there's not much Bhagavatam has gone inside. That's what it indicates. Right. That if you understood the message of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam relieves you from this false conception that this material wealth will save you from your state of life in this world. And we have so much, this money is everyone looking after in this world, searching for wealth. And why is he searching for wealth? Because he wants to find some shelter in this world. He feels the security from that wealth. But on deeper analysis you can see that money also can't give you any shelter. Because on one side you may save yourself from the financial point of view. There could be ill health chasing you from some other side. So ultimately where is the shelter? Shelter is only Krishna, nothing else. And unless one comes to that is because of ignorance. Ignorance is the cause behind it. That person is acting like that. That type of realization will come from Bhagavatam. One studies Bhagavatam seriously, he will come to this point of understanding that nothing in this world will give me any shelter. The only shelter is Krishna. That realization will come very strongly. And when that realization comes, then all these ideas will go away. But there are, as you said, some people think in that direction, but there are others who don't think also like that, who thinks that Prabhupada has given a message and that should be distributed.
This seems to be like a fine dividing line, because you have to treat the spiritual master as good as God. And I think journalists used to question why Prabhupada was being treated opulently, and they're being suspicious, I suppose, of thinking, well,
if there's journalists, what do they understand about spiritual life? Journalists wanted to ask, what is ISKCON's budget? How many number of devotees are living? How are you maintaining yourself? These are the questions they are asking. And Prabhupada used to shrug them off. Says, ask it to my disciples, they'll tell you all these answers, he said. You come to me, ask me something related to spiritual life, but don't ask me about how many devotees are you got in the temple, and who is looking after your health? Are you going to NHS? You using these kind of questions they used to ask. This is no question to ask your spiritual personality, first of all. These are insignificant questions relating to the body. And you go to a personality like Prabhupada and ask all these sort of questions, it makes not much of a... it's not something which Prabhupada stands. How many books have you printed? How many millions? How many dollars have you collected? And things like that. But that's neither here nor there. So I think you ought to judge everything by its own way and make your own understanding on this. That everything is not what we read and see in the press.
But if you're saying that the Bhagavatam speaker shouldn't be...
sometimes in Bhagavatam, in the olden days, when there were some very, very advanced souls who spoke from Srimad Bhagavatam, and the different kings, they used to invite them and give them with a lot of presents
jewelry, gold, necklaces and things like that. But for them, they had no attachment to it. They'll take it, and on the next temple when they arrive, they'll hand
so
it over there.
So basically, it's not the material things.
It's not material things. It's that how attached you are. How much your consciousness is beyond all these things. That for them, Bhagavatam was more valuable than all these necklaces and pearls and jewelry. It has no value for them because they knew that without Srimad Bhagavatam, they couldn't live in this world. That's what they cared for. So that's an understanding of that, that wealth may come sometimes. Krishna will shower wealth on a person like that. And that wealth, if he may use it properly, that there is nothing going to stop him from doing that. But as long as the mind is not looking for that wealth, using Bhagavatam to acquire wealth, then it is wrong.
No, please. Prabhupada, we read that Bhagavatam is meant to give only pure bhakti and not any of the four other purusharthas.
Yeah.
It's called as pancham purusharthas.
Yeah.
But there are also certain narrations like the Varaha Avatara story.
Mm.
At the end of which, and several others, we read that you read the story, you get a lot of opulence, you become very famous, you either get a son or, you know, all these so-called material benefits. These are also promised. So I wonder, why is it said in the beginning that it said that these four purusharthas...
I've answered this question before. Do you remember?
Yeah.
What did I say about this?
These are these just side benefits?
Yeah. There is a reason behind it. When somebody comes to read Srimad Bhagavatam, everyone in this world is virtually looking for artha and kama.
Right.
Artha kama means the whole purpose of in this world. When they, even Prabhupada wrote sometimes that they, people came to Krishna consciousness for material advancement. They had this in their mind. So they saw that there is an opportunity to grow materially well. There were people who were directed in that direction. So Prabhupada gave reference to that as well. So artha kama won't go away easily from people's mind.
Right.
That's always there. But in course of time, even such people, if you have artha kama, also it says, take to Srimad Bhagavatam. If you have such a desire strongly in your mind that I want to have material sense gratification, economic development, then still comes to Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in course of time, if you take a Srimad Bhagavatam, not only that your material desires will vanish, it will go on its own once you start absorbing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. But sometimes Krishna is concerned, if you have material desire also, Krishna can provide you that. It's not that Krishna can't give you that. But Krishna won't make sure that, Krishna will make sure that you are not given such situation that you will go away from Krishna consciousness.
Right.
That's Krishna's special mercy to the devotee. That sometimes devotees praise to Krishna that I want this, everything, dhanandehi, bicham, everything dehi, dehi, dehi. But Krishna says that if I give you all what you are asking for, you will not stay in Krishna consciousness, you will leave me and go. And Krishna makes sure that that doesn't happen to a devotee. So that's why many Muslim senses Krishna will put a break there. He will not give that. Unless he knows that this devotee can handle that, that what he is asking for. So these, like if you, it is not only Varahavaram, throughout Bhagavatam you will find that. If you read Rukmini's marriage, you will see those who wants to get married.
Right.
And Rukmini Samaram, similarly Santana Gopalam story in the 19th chapter, 89th chapter. Santana Gopalam,
the
story of the Brahmana. Yeah. Who had children. So those who want children, they should study this chapter. Like who wants to win the war, they should study the story of Banasura. Like that you will find in every chapter, this Phalashwari as it's called, it's mentioned. And it's only done for this reason, that those who want have such desires, let them also read Srimad Bhagavatam. They can obtain that. But pure devotees, they do not look into Srimad Bhagavatam with this in mind. Behind it.
When you said these renounced persons, then they go to the kings and they get all this thing, then they just sort of offload it. Srila Prabhupada was classically like wasn't he?
He was, so many people were giving so many things. Prabhupada was offering to deities at different places, all these things.
He was giving it away to the devotees, all these things.
Because Prabhupada's mission was to let people should understand benefit of Krishna consciousness. So they may get the ultimate goal of life properly fixed, that this is what life is meant for. This is what he was trying to say all the time. Life is not meant for anything else except this. This is perfection of life. This is what he was trying to say. So in that process, many, many wealthy people come. They present so many things to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada used to hand over, use for this deity or that deity, in this temple or that temple, or use it for devotees' welfare like this. Prabhupada for himself doesn't want anything.
Also, he was giving them benefit by receiving it from them, wouldn't he? It's amazing.
Because, yes, that's there. When something is given like that, that has to be used in, when used in Krishna service.
Yeah.
Prabhupada says that is the right way to utilize it.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. Material wealth is what, it's Krishna's wealth at the end, what we are taking and using it.
Yeah,
so Prabhupada knew, was very much aware. I don't know where it was, in one lecture he said that, he was saying that all these people are fighting for the land, and this fighting for the land is not started today or yesterday. It is started from time immemorial. Yeah? And in the 12th canto you will notice, Bhumi Devi is saying there a story. Bhumi Devi says there all these people, and she lists everybody. She says, they were all walking on my chest, she says, and fighting for me. And she says this, they were fighting for me. But actually, whom do I belong to? I am Krishna's wife. Bhumi Devi, Sridhara Shrishtavarsham. And I am Krishna's wife. And they are want to take possession of me.
Right.
And who all he has listed? Raghu. Raghu in the
Raghu. Ramas.
Yes, Lord Ramchandra's great Raghuvamsham comes from there. Yeah? Right. Raghu, Dilip, even Parashuram. She has scolded all of these people who have done these things on her chest, she says. So Prabhupada says there that this is not something new that happening today only. That people want to grab others' property and... Actually, everything is Krishna's property, and that's what Prabhupada is trying to bring this point out. So, those who have such high degree of realization, they know that everything is Krishna's property. They will act on that understanding. Whereas, those who have not cultivated that, they will see that, oh, it is for my enjoyment, all these things in this world. They will see that way.
So, one question. You said that a person should not have too much attachment, nor too much of detachment. Why is it that? I don't understand. Because a person has detachment, it's very good, right? And how does it act as a negative? And why does he have to take for something inferior then?
Yeah. What Krishna says there is, Yadrachaya mal kathasu, by accident, if one comes to hear about my pastimes, jada shraddho bhima puman, and he becomes serious in hearing about me. Na nirveno nadi sakto.
Right.
One who is too renounced or one who is too attached, such a person is bhakti yoga vastu siddhida. For him, bhakti yoga will work.
Yeah.
The reason for that is that if one is too renounced in this material world, that it's come to such a higher level of renunciation, then he cannot understand he cannot relish the sweetness of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is a rasam. Bhakti is a rasam, isn't it? Out of many rasas, bhakti is a rasa. When one comes to such a high degree of renunciation, rasam goes away. His heart becomes very, very dry. Yeah. And when one becomes very dry at his heart, then he cannot get that the emotions of bhakti in his heart. Chitta ardratva mridai vichinja bhakti siddhyandi janmandare. That is a statement. Means that this mind has got a nature called ardrada. Ardrada means it starts becomes very mellow.
Yeah.
Chitta ardratva mridai vichindya bahubhi siddhyandi janmandare. After many, many births only, one gets that softness of the heart.
Right.
And when that softness is there, one will be a little bit attached also to this world. Yeah. And one will not be fully enough. Whereas jnanis who go into the path of the Advaita and the other Vedantic books, they are very renounced.
Yeah.
Because that is their principle, that complete renunciation detachment. They say, Shavandra Mantra Purishaval Tyajaha. In other words, they say that when you see something in this material world, almost like that, you know this, what's it called, the pig, which eats a human excretia, the stool. If you think about the excretia of that animal, how much disgust you feel.
That's
to such an extent, if you feel disgusted with this material world,